I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. And today we have none other than Heather Portwood from Oklahoma City, who has another extraordinary story featuring the secret formula for advancing in Young Living, which we will talk about. We were talking about it off camera. I discovered she has deployed the secret formula, like a lot of other people that I've interviewed in Young Living. Welcome, Heather, to Road to Diamond.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
And even before we got on camera, I asked Heather, like I asked everybody else that I interview, hey, have you ever watched any of these Road to Diamonds? And so many of the people that I interview go into this sort of hunch of shame where they look down at their desk and they say, no, I feel bad, but I've actually never watched any of these Road to Diamond interviews now that you're interviewing me. And so, of course, I asked Heather that. And what did Heather say?
I've watched almost all of them.
Oh my gosh. Well, that could be why you're so successful. Except I think probably you were so successful and then you watched. So we're going to get into Heather's secret formula. But first I got to start this interview off like I start them all, because we got to create context for the story. Heather, tell us who you were and where you were and what you were doing before you ever heard of Young Living.
Well, I was still here in Oklahoma City. At the time, I just had, two kids, two little boys, and one little boy was, struggled a lot physically, and a friend of mine introduced me to Young Living, and it just helped tremendously, and so I knew I wanted to get my oils paid for because it wasn't necessarily something that we could afford right at the time. I just ordered a bottle of peppermint and lavender. And so I decided I was going to start, sharing with some of my friends to see if I could earn a little bit of money at first, but that was never really the reason behind why I used them. And so it just kind of started escalating, people asking questions, and I got really passionate about wanting to help other moms like me that needed some extra tools. And I just started sharing, and I taught a class a week, once a week, every week. I'd take off during holidays, like maybe only do one class or two classes in December. But other than that, I've shared consistently one class a week.
Wow. Well, let's go back a little bit. Who introduced you to Young Living? How did you know that person? And what did they say that got you to take a look?
It was a friend of mine from church who introduced me and was not naturally minded at all. But she knew that we were really struggling. We'd been to all sorts of doctors all over the state. And she just said, why don't you just try it? So she actually gave me a bottle of peppermint and RC. And it wasn't a full bottle, but at the time everybody kind of would give their last drops. We'd share our, kind of samples. And it was like an immediate response. He had an immediate positive response. And she had showed me where on the feet, on the Vitaflex points on the feet to apply it. And I remember just sitting there like, oh my gosh, peppermint, And so we just were all in from that point as far as using the oils.
Not just almond peppermint, though. I mean,
I suppose you could buy those essential oils at the gas station and rub that peppermint on your feet, and probably nothing's going to happen.
Right, for sure.
I want to preface a couple of things, Heather, that you and I talked about before the interview, which are so profound and interesting, great lessons. And I'm going to set the question up by telling everybody a story, like a 30-second story. So I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes ago or years ago, I was coaching a gal for her very first presentation on a big stage. And she was a Rodan and Fields sales leader. In fact, the largest Rodan and Fields sales leader. That's a big company, like a $1 billion company, right? And she had, I don't know, 500,000 people on her team, and she was making a couple hundred grand a month. And so in coaching her on what she was going to talk about, somehow it came up that her sponsor in Rodan and Fields had quit. And so we created this whole speech around the gal's name who quit, which is why I asked you the name of your sponsor, because she and I calculated, Heather. Now she's been doing this longer than you have, and she probably makes more money than you do in Rodan and Fields because she's number one. But we calculated that her sponsor who quit left about $50 million on the table. Mm-hmm. Not just in income that she would have earned already, but in future income. And so my question to you is, the reason I asked you who enrolled you and what did she say is, what happened to your sponsor?
Oh, well, she ended up moving. She wanted to move out from under the person that we were under. And so she stopped. She quit. So I decided not to quit, not to move or change sponsors or anything like that. And I stayed. And I honestly, I don't know if I would have continued, one, using the product or definitely pursuing the business if I had, you know, changed enrollers or gone with her or done whatever. I don't even know. I don't even know what she's doing now. So.
Okay. Well, if you don't know what she's doing now, Heather, it's safe to say that she's left, I don't know, maybe $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month worth of income on the table because she's no longer the sponsor. And so the lesson that I want everybody watching this interview to recognize is if you are in Young Living and you have enrolled anybody, even somebody with your dregs of peppermint that maybe is just now trying a bottle of peppermint, If that's as far as you've gone in building your Young Living business, you would be well advised to not quit.
Yeah.
Because you personally, I'm talking to all of you out there in Young Living land, you personally may not have the vision or the confidence or the motivation or the whatever to go on and build this. But you may have already introduced somebody who's going to go on and be a diamond or a double diamond or a crown or a Royal Crown diamond. And if you quit, oh my gosh, you've left a fortune on the table. And I'm not talking about the money that you would have already earned. So Heather, think about this. You've been doing Young Living now about 7 years.
Yeah.
And you do about $1 million a month in volume, just a little less than $1 million a month in volume. How many more years, Heather, do you feel like you'll do $1 million or more a month in Young Living?
Forever.
How long is forever?
Well, forever, like my kids and on and on and on.
Can we say forever is 50 years?
Yeah.
Could we say it's 100 years?
Yeah.
Now you're starting to get the point about how much money you might leave on the table if you quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the whole other thing about, well, what if I don't like my upline? What if I don't like my sponsor, right? So shouldn't I go find a different sponsor? Shouldn't I change lines of sponsorship? No, because, you know, all you need to do is go upline, right? Just go upline and you're going to find somebody in your upline that makes $1 million a year and is willing to teach you how they do.
Right.
So somebody in your upline is killing it. Right. In every case, because you're going to eventually end up, right? If you have to, you end up with Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mary may not personally talk to you, but you can just watch recordings of Mary and she'll teach you how to build an empire in Young Living. Mm-hmm. You don't have to change sponsors. In fact, it's not a good practice. So, all right, we got that, those lessons out of the way. So Heather, you've already shared with us your strategy, like how you went about building this empire, and yours was as simple as one class a week. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, which I'm really interested in, it sounds like you did not go at a breakneck pace, like you didn't stress yourself out. And maybe one of the reasons you didn't stress yourself out, which by the way, folks, Heather got to Diamond by the end of her fourth year. So there's a 4-year career for you. Yes. But at the same time that she went to Diamond, she also had how many more children?
Four.
So you have 7 now. You had 2 when you started. Mm-hmm. So in the next 4 years, while you went to Diamond in 4 years, you also had 4 more children.
Yes.
Which we have already figured out. I have figured out here at Bliss Business a couple of years ago that is the secret formula in Young Living. If you want to rank advance, it really depends on how many children you have. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create a whole book about, okay, if you have 1 kid, probably the most you can hope for is star or senior star. Mm-hmm. If you have 2 kids, you might be able to be an executive. 3 silver, 4 gold, 5 platinum, 6 diamond, 7 mm-hmm. crown, 8 and above Royal Crown Diamond. But that's not the entirety of the secret formula. What else do you have to do, Heather, with your children in order to maximize the Young Living compensation plan? Can you tell everybody that?
You have to homeschool.
You do to homeschool. You only get half credit in the compensation plan if you send your kids to public school.
Right, only half credit.
And what, you know, so what I want you to speak to now, Heather, is, I mean, when I married Kimmy, she had a 15-year-old daughter, and, you know, I was like the stepdad. I don't have any biological children. My children have always been people on my team, my downline, right? And I personally cannot even imagine. I can't imagine it. I mean, I've watched lots of people and studied lots of people, but it's just hard for me to imagine the reality of raising a family of that size. Kimmy and I have a 2-year-old multi-poo, which seems like a full-time job, and runs the house, right? Like, seems like everything we do is determined by what Marley the multi-poo wants us to do. And I want you to speak to, Heather, the I'm too busy to do this, which of course comes from prospects, but it also comes from people watching these interviews as maybe one of their number one reasons or excuses why they can't invest 30 minutes a day in building a business because they're too busy. And I wonder how many of them had 4 children on top of 2 children, so a total of 6, while they built to Diamond in 4 years. Could you speak to how you did that from a too busy standpoint? How did you find the time?
Well, the class thing was something that I knew was non-negotiable. I had a class once a week. It was usually on a Tuesday night at 7:00 every single Tuesday. And so the rest of the things, as far as building, it's just, you gotta, like, 15-minute increments. And, you know, the more kids that you have in homeschooling, you've got to make every minute count. And but also have fun doing it, because, or enjoy it, because you're not gonna, it'll just be mundane or not exciting, or you'll quit doing it. So just 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there is usually when I would call people or check in with people, get in my groups on social media, just make sure that I'm making contact with my, you know, my members. But that's really just, I had to make it fit in my lifestyle or I wasn't going to do this. There's no way, I'm not the super recruiter social media person. I do everything at home. And so I don't know, I just had to make it work. And you find ways to make it work if it's something that you really want to do.
Like looking at Road to Diamond has, you know, the same stats that kind of wrap around your profile. And I encourage all of you to, as you're looking at Road to Diamond interviews, study everybody's stats. And one of the things that you'll see about Heather's stats is she comparatively to other diamonds and above has enrolled very few people in those 4 years. So could you speak to that, Heather? Like, how do you think you got away with enrolling so few people and converting such a high percentage of them to inspired builders?
Well, it is a challenge. I'm trying to continue to broaden my horizons to be able to meet new people to enroll. But when you are a homeschooling mom of seven, you are kind of limited to your outreach as far as, you know, how many people you know. So whenever I would, I kind of did this same scenario over and over and over again. So I taught my class, then I would follow up with everybody at the class. I would tell them, let's see if we can get your oils paid for. Do you mind hosting a class? And so, you know, they knew that would help me. They started really loving the oils. And so it was just kind of a pattern of, I would, you know, like network marketing teaches you, you reach into those 1,000 people that that person knows and the 1,000 people that that person knows. So I just kind of continued to see, who would be open and willing to host or let me teach. And it really got to where, I would always have oils out at the class. So for everybody to try and use them. So they really got to see the benefit of oils right away. And so it wasn't hard to talk about enrolling in essential rewards. And it wasn't hard to start talking about how we can start incorporating these things into your lifestyle. So let's not just buy the kit. Let's talk about how we can get, everything kind of switched over, all the ditch and switch stuff. It just kind of started being a natural repetition of things. So that's kind of how I believe that I've gotten people who have been so committed to Young Living, and then they just do the same thing. And so it's just really recently been to probably the past 2 years where people are starting to ask more questions about, you know, what does it mean to hustle, or, you know, what is platinum? It's just, I don't know. It's just been a natural thing. So that's kind of, I guess, where.
Yeah, I call things out there for people. So here's one thing I heard you say that is secret sauce. It's not a secret, shouldn't be a secret. But if you look at everybody pursuing success in Young Living, you find that maybe only 1% of the people that are pursuing success in Young Living actually do this. And you said it early on, you said the one class a week was non-negotiable, right? So in my book, what you created there was compounding consistency. And so if you look at 100 people pursuing building a business in Young Living, what you'll find is 99, 98 of them pursue success whenever they feel like it. They're random, you know. So this week I feel like doing something, I do it. Next 2 weeks I don't because I got busy, I forgot, I got distracted. Or I have a class or I promote the business when people are receptive. But if the last two people or three people said no, or weren't very nice to me, then I don't feel like promoting the business anymore, right? So did you have a class every week, even if nobody showed up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what you mean by non-negotiable, right? Doesn't matter what the result is, you're having a class every week. And you know, that's just one of the secrets to success is you have to be consistent. You don't have to be a superstar in network marketing. You don't have to be a unicorn. You don't have to be one of those people that, you know, personally enrolls 500 people or is an Instagram influencer. In fact, you're better off not being one of those people because that isn't duplicatable. Mm-hmm. But having one class a week, anybody can do that.
Right.
Right. So now it's duplicatable. And what you want in network marketing is you want to do something that anybody can do. Mm-hmm. So it's actually those little baby steps that create success. And then another thing I heard you say, Heather, and so I want you to expound on it because I'm not sure if I heard it correctly or the way I wanted to hear it. I heard that a conversation you had with everybody was everyone. Tell me if that's right. Was let's show you how to get your oils paid for. So that sounds to me like everybody you enrolled, you postured the opportunity. Maybe not lots of money, but you presented, hey, this isn't about just being a customer. This is about being a customer that is an ambassador and starts to get rewards for being an ambassador. I heard that in your posturing ER, and I heard that in you posturing and getting your products for free. Could you speak about how you, if you made that kind of a mandatory operating procedure for yourself, and if so, how you did that?
With my personality, I'm kind of that one that shied away a lot from anything having to do with money. I wouldn't close, you know, do the closing. I wouldn't. But then the more that I realized that I was doing that, the more I realized, okay, everybody's calling me for their oils. Everybody's wanting me to give them their samples. They're not, you know, so I knew that I had to start addressing the fact that, because the majority of the people that I was teaching were moms, you know, like me. And so just starting to on purposely talk about, this is how I got my oils paid for. So let's get your oils paid for too. And this is how we did it. And you know, your mom has those issues. Let's see if we can help support her body with these products. So just, it started becoming part of the regular conversation. But I just realized that I was doing them a disservice by not talking about essential rewards, by not talking about the business opportunity. It was my insecurity, not theirs. And so I immediately kind of brought in, you know, my stuff and projecting that on them. And then as soon as I started being more open and more confident in talking about it, everybody wanted to get on ER.
Right.
And everybody was great about wanting to see if they could host a class or, you know, tell their mom, sister, brother. You know, it just got easier. And I never experienced anybody being mean. I never experienced anybody being put off by me talking about the business opportunity. Those are just things I think that, you know.
And kind of an effect on attitude. So
if we don't embrace the income option, then we tend to sort of reflect that in the people we're around. They tend to not embrace it. But if we totally embrace it and we don't make a big mm-hmm. deal about it, it's just like, well, gosh, doesn't it make sense? You want to spend $150 or $200 a month on this stuff or you want to get it for free? And if you absolutely love the products, are you inclined to keep that a secret? Or are you inclined to tell people about your experiences? And the natural thing to do is not keep it a secret. The natural thing to do is want to get stuff for free, right? Especially if you're a mom, right? And mm-hmm. you got to be like not a one percenter in the United States. You got to be a 1/10 of 1%er, one out mm-hmm. of 1,000 people. I think it's something like 1 out of 1,000 people make more than $250,000 a year maybe if you make more than $250,000 a year, you don't care about $150 a month. But everybody else cares about $150 a month. They would prefer not to spend it and get their products for free. Natural thing to talk about. I want to call out a couple of statistics, Heather, on your business, which are so telling for what you have created in this culture, as it's okay to talk about the income option. And we're not talking about making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. You're just talking about, hey, let's talk about how to get your products paid for. And then let's talk about, you know, ditch it and switch it, which leads to ER. Mm-hmm. And so here's two statistics that everybody watching is going to want to know about Heather's team. Number one, your ER percentage is like 48%. So you're 8% higher than the entire company. You have a very high ER percentage. Some people only have an ER percentage of 20 or 30%. And so they're leaving half of their volume on the table. Because if people aren't on ER, they don't order near as much product. I mean, the only people really that order every month and make up our volume are people that are on ER. Your ER percentage is huge. And so that's probably, you know, you've probably doubled your income. But more importantly, you've doubled the income of everybody on your team because you've set this standard of everybody needs to be on ER. And you've taught it from the beginning and you taught it in a great way. Let's just go through your house, right? And that's mm-hmm. the smartest way to get people on ER. But then you have another percentage, which is so endearing to me, Heather. So I ask everybody to run this report before I interview them. You have what we call casual recruiters. Those are the people that enrolled on your team that enrolled somebody on ER last month. And your percentage of team members, which includes everybody not on ER. So, you know, I don't know how many people are on your team, but maybe there's 10,000 or something. You know, half of them are not on ER, and so they're not even doing anything at all. This percentage includes everybody on your team. 3.2% of your team last month enrolled somebody on ER, which is a significant improvement over almost everybody I interview. Like, for example, if somebody's sales are flat, like they're not growing, I can predict that the percentage of people that ER sponsored somebody on ER last month is probably about 2%. So you're 33% higher, which just results in growth. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The point I want to make to people is these are practices that Heather put in place in the beginning, and she put in place for everyone she enrolled. Like, okay, I'm going to have a class and now here's what we do, right? We talk about how to get your products paid for and we talk about sharing and ER, right? And then the impact of those practices 7 years later, when you're doing $1 million a month, is huge, not just for you, but for everybody on your team, because they're going to basically build the way you taught them to build. Mm-hmm. So what else did you do, Heather? What would you, like, if we're calling out your smartest things you did in the last 7 years, and you're speaking to not diamonds, not crowns, not even platinums. Most of the people watching these interviews are stars, senior stars, executives, and most of them are struggling. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of the beast, right? What would you say to them? What would be your nuggets? What would be your three tips?
After I started, you know, it's the nature of the business where you, as you go, you start hitting those roadblocks or you come to a hurdle and you have to either, you know, sometimes force yourself, fling yourself over it, you know, to get over. But I just have not quit jumping the hurdles, I guess, when, and working on myself, like that, I did attend a couple of like different seminars and just doing leadership training. And I'm super excited. I want to do yours next year. I'm so excited about it. But just work.
One of mine, I'm curious.
The one, well, it's, I don't know which one is it, the, well, the one that you do regularly.
Well, it used to be called Run Through Rank. Now it's called Momentum Masterclass.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Okay, good.
That's the one that gives you all the tangible things that you can do on a, so just working on, you know, working harder on myself than anybody else, making sure that I'm not letting the influence, like I'm just working on myself and going forward and moving forward. And another thing would be whenever we can is attending convention. The first convention that I went to, we didn't have the money to do it. It was totally last minute. I ended up rooming with a lady that was in a Facebook group that I didn't even, you know, but anyway, ended up being so amazing to see the farm, to see the distillery. And just when you have all those things, you don't quit. When you have all those experiences, it's just more highly unlikely in people that I've met and talked to, that you kind of keep going.
Yeah.
Two biggest things you can do for anybody on your team, like if I enrolled you, Heather, would be job number one is get somebody enrolled on ER under you.
Yes.
Right? Get you on ER, but get somebody under you on ER. That's the best insurance you can ever have for keeping somebody engaged and active. And then if you want to create a leader, get them to a farm.
Mm-hmm.
The farm experience is the most unique experience in Young Living, and something you can't unsee or unfeel. And it makes competition irrelevant,
mm-hmm.
right? No matter what their label says or what somebody says about their product, the farm experience is unprecedented and non-duplicatable.
Yeah.
And makes for leaders. So there's some simple formulas we're coming up with here. Have lots of kids, homeschool them, go to the farm.
Yeah.
Could you speak, Heather, to, so you said, I love the way you said, fling yourself over the obstacles. Can you call out a couple of obstacles that stopped you for a while that you've flung yourself over, if that's proper English?
Well, a lot of it has been things like poverty mindset and all the different, you know, self-worth, those types of emotional.
Can you speak to those specifically? What were your poverty mindsets and how did you overcome them?
Well, the poverty one financially was something that, was really pretty huge. I mean, my husband and I both, I mean, there just wasn't another out. There wasn't an option unless I was going to go back and get another degree, but then I wasn't going to be able to stay home and raise my kids. I'd have to work full time. The big, huge change jar on the counter was the only fun money that we ever had. It was just all those things where you just feel like I'm doomed to repeat my, you know, what my parents did and what his parents, you know, just, so it had to really, come to a point where I actually, Mary said it, and she had said from, almost said the pulpit, she had said from the stage that we need money in the hands of good people.
Yeah.
And it was, that kind of just clicked with me where I was like, I am a good person. I'm not somebody who's going to squander my money or have a fortune and throw it away. I'm going to, you know, put it back into the community or, you know, so I think that just that mindset of I'm not worthy of earning money or I'm not worthy of having money just kind of stopped when I heard that. And so I knew that just started coming to hurdle myself over that was going to be things like starting to talk about the business and starting to actively treat this like a business and not a hobby. Right. So
it's safe to say you don't have a lime green Lamborghini in the driveway.
I drive a ginormous van.
Yeah, the thing, you know, I think one of the quickest ways to get over the poverty mentality is to get over ourselves, right? Because as soon as we take on the needs of other people, we can never earn too much money. But as long as the focus is on ourselves, well, that poverty mentality can really show up and ruin things because, you know, what if I made $5,000 a month? What would I do with it, right? We're not often very comfortable thinking about buying a new home or buying a new car, or buying new clothes. And, you know, maybe those are deep issues. You can hire a therapist for a couple of years or just take on a cause, right? Take on a cause that's bigger than you because with causes, you can never earn enough money, right? You could just take on homelessness in Oklahoma City, which I don't know if it's a problem in Oklahoma City or not, probably too cold in the winter. But I don't care if you make $1 million a month, you're not going to solve homelessness in Oklahoma City with $1 million a month.
Right.
It's too big a problem. So when we take on something beyond ourselves, all those neuroses about we don't deserve it and we're not comfortable with money tend to go away. And I suppose having seven kids is that's the first place you could spend a lot of money, right? Just in college, just in preparing for their college education is $7 million right there.
Yes.
So Heather, what's next for you? What do you, 2020 was an interesting year for Young Living, a lot of changes, a lot of trauma, a lot of frustration, you know, and you know, you've kind of built during the golden years of Young Living. What do you see next? And if you're speaking to a senior or senior star or an executive, what will you say to them about their next 7 years? What do you see as the next 7 years for Young Living? And convince me that they can be golden years for me as an up and comer.
Well, I am going to go back to doing things that make me happy about this business instead of doing the things that I don't like, which when I think I've seen this in a lot of people and in myself mainly, it's just you go into like these administrative roles when you hit, you know, I don't really know when that started. I think it started for me around platinum where I just kind of was like, oh my gosh, I've got to know all the stuff. I've got to do all the stuff I've got. But then there's those areas of the business that I loved that I wasn't finding joy in because you're doing all this other stuff. Anyway, so I'm going to go back to doing things that all that I love about the business, which is a lot of, I love doing care calls. I love, you know, talking to my members and helping them through their, you know, plan their wellness goals. And so doing things like that, because everybody needs the oils.
Do you love being an Instagram phenom?
Do what?
Do you love being an Instagram phenom? Are you one? Do you go no. that route?
No, I tried. And then it's like I would be that one that like would be a, what is it called? A parody or whatever. Like every selfie I make, it's just like, we don't do well. I mean, I have an Instagram, but it's just, you know, here's this, but I appreciate the people who do it, but.
Yeah, I do too. And I love what you said about return yourself to the fundamentals and the things that are fun for you. And what I hear in that is authenticity, because there's a lot of different ways to build a Young Living business. You could be a social media influencer and do that. I don't know if you can do that for 20 years, but you could do a class a week for 20 years. You could talk about the products to people you meet for 20 years.
Yep.
And bring it back to maybe the roots of Young Living, because social media may not always be there the way it has been there. In fact, there's some pretty clear signs it won't be there the way it has been there. And maybe there'll be something new, right, that everybody jumps on. But nothing will ever change when it comes to just sharing your authentic product experience with other people and baby stepping them through their experiences until you create an advocate, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe you get them to go to a farm or the convention or a something, and you create a bigger advocate. And then it doesn't really matter if there's the internet or there's social media or there's any of those things, because multi-billion dollar empires have always been built in direct selling, one person at a time, one story at a time, without the internet, without social media, and without whatever's coming next. And I love that you see that wisdom, and you're going to go find your original journey and the things that are fun for you and authentic for you. And that's a great way, isn't it, to keep inspired?
Yes.
About doing the do, right? Because mm-hmm. your team, more than anything else, your team needs to see that you're inspired mm-hmm. and engaged.
Yep. And nothing does what our oils do. I mean, there's nothing like them. And so just knowing that you can impact people so greatly just by, you know, doing what we do is totally rewarding in itself, but we have something really special.
Well, Heather, you're a remarkable story. 4 years to Diamond while you had 4 children and a super high ER percentage and a super high percentage of your team are recruiting. And I love your fundamentals about, hey, let's show you how to pay for these right away. And let's show you how to get on ER right away. Mm-hmm. And you did all that with your sponsor quitting.
And I did. One thing that's funny is I met Adam Green on Facebook early on. And when he hit Silver and he wrote the book, and anyway, I bribed him to come to Oklahoma City with MBA tickets. So I was like, you come and speak to my team. Anyway, so that's a funny story just about Adam and your. Yeah, to come see the Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I bribed him.
Why, that's how you got him. Okay, yeah. I got it. Well, I have lots of Adam Green stories too. He's a special character in Young Living. Heather, thank you so much for sharing your story with people. And those of you out there in Young Living land, here's what I would suggest you do with Heather's story. Watch it again, because you're going to learn things. You're going to hear things. You're going to remember things the second time that you missed the first time, or you already forgot. Watch it a third time and you'll learn even more. And then share it with your team. So Heather told me before I even started this interview, she's watched almost every one of these and she shares them all with her team. And she's doing 1 million a month. So if she's doing that, I don't know, sounds like a clue, might be a good idea, right?
Maybe.
Which is the reason for Road to Diamond. Some of you may think, why are you doing these, Richard? Because I know that belief is more important than anything. It's more important than strategy, tools, anything, belief. And how do you get belief? Well, you get it from just listening to story after story after story after story after story. And sooner or later, if you don't believe, you'll start believing. And as soon as you start believing, you start doing. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start doing, you start earning. Pretty simple. Heather, thank you. You're a treasure.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, I look forward to heart-to-heart, face-to-face.
Yes.
Seeing you down the road when we can do that.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, thank you all for watching Road to Diamond. See you next time. Over and out.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.